Before I get started today, I wanted to make sure that I give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie was recently on the podcast, episode 238. She joined me in the garage gym. It was awesome. She was live. We focused on stress and how it relates specifically to TMS healing. It was great. She's a stress and mind body coach based out of Los Angeles, and you might remember that she guest hosted the podcast back in January and also came on live with me in August of 2021. So we did two Augusts in a row. Jeannie spent 16 years battling fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a myriad of other chronic symptoms that left her both physically and mentally exhausted. She healed herself completely, and now she's obsessed with getting her clients fast results through her one-on-one coaching program. In her program, clients learn how to decrease stress, release stuck negative emotions, to finally heal that chronic pain. Visit www.jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieKulwin.com, for instant access to her free recorded confidence-boosting breathwork mini session, or to learn more about her incredible one-on-one coaching program. Welcome back to the show. It's been an eventful couple of weeks, but I'm so happy to have you here. In the beginning of the show, I always like to make sure that I give a shout out to the patrons of the podcast. If you're interested in throwing a couple bucks in the tip jar every single month, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. This group of a couple of dozen people, they donate a little bit every single month, and it really helps keep this show available and on the air for free. So let me give a shout out to Kirk and Emily and Brent, Paul and Amanda, Elise, Enda and Dominic, Sasha, Sylvie, James, John, Jason and Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Arnie and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast. Every single month, it means the world to me. So, yes. Today is a question and answer episode, but I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a rundown of what's been going on the last couple of weeks because, what was I doing 2 weeks ago? So I recorded a podcast a couple of weeks ago, a solo one, and then I aired an interview last week because I was going to be out of town, and so I was down in San Francisco. My wife and I flew down and we saw Lady Gaga. There's actually a question about Lady Gaga today on the podcast that somebody sent in. But we went down and saw her at Oracle Park and it was amazing, as I had expected. I love San Francisco. I have to say, now knock on wood, my desk is wood. Knock on wood, still somehow the COVID has not gotten to me yet. I read this morning this NPR article that was talking about how above 80% of the population has been infected with COVID, and it was about people that have not been, despite numerous exposures. I am definitely one of those. If you remember, 7 months ago, I took care of my whole family for a week, 10 days, and they all had it. I never got it. And it's not to say that I have been reckless in behavior, but I've certainly peeled back a little bit. And as time has gone on, precautions are less and less. And I had thought that over the last couple of weeks, because all the different things that I did and different events that I went to and just places that I've been, we took the plane ride, obviously, down to California. We went to every restaurant, or we went to a bunch of restaurants during our stay there. We went to this concert. It was outdoors, but we went to this concert that had 60 or 65,000 people at it. Flew back. I went to, took Zoe to her first pro wrestling event. I picked her up from school early on Friday last week, and we took the light rail down to Seattle, downtown Seattle, and we saw WWE SmackDown, and she loved that. Went to a funeral a couple of days later and been to Mariner game in that time. And still just, I'm just kind of sitting here just watching my watch and nothing has happened still. Back to coaching girls soccer, which is amazing. And I'm sure I'll have more about that as the weeks and the months roll on. We are the something dragons, majestic dragons, something like that. Something dragons. But it's a great group of U9 girls, and it's a blast. So that's a good time. So let's get to the questions today. So I had posted that I was looking for questions or for topics that people wanted me to discuss on the podcast. And I said, no questions about is this TMS, please? Because that's one of the things that's just, it's a conundrum. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you whether you have it or not. And so I can say here's, in my experience, what I think is probably going on. But, you know, ultimately, again, I am not a doctor, even though some people think that I may play one on this podcast, which I, that's not the intent. So nevertheless, let's, okay, so Ross, R-O-S, Rose, Rose, said long COVID TMS or immune and vascular dysfunction TMS. So I don't know anything about immune or vascular dysfunction, but what I can say, long COVID TMS is now there is starting to be people that are experts in this field that are coming out and talking about long COVID and its association of being TMS, so those continuous symptoms. Nicole Sachs probably is the most famous one that has talked about it outright. She is certainly an expert. She's a trained psychotherapist in this field, and she has people that have now come onto her podcast to talk about this long COVID element. And I think that, again, my opinion is that you've sort of had these in vogue illnesses or issues over the last 30 or 40 years where suddenly large swaths of the population start to have these issues. And I think that it's like this collective, I mean, what do I, collective conscious thought, collective consciousness. And so an example in the past has been carpal tunnel syndrome, right? There was a period of time where it was very hot and it seemed like everybody that you knew, or you or everybody at least knew a couple of people that had said that they had carpal tunnel. Okay, well, that's not really as much of a thing. I remember 10 years ago, seemingly every athlete that I knew said that they had, what is it even called? It's right on the tip of my tongue. Gluten intolerance, or that they had celiac disease. That was a thing where people had said over and over again that they had this thing, and they would have these symptoms. And in some cases, they would actually eat wheat or they'd eat grain and they would start to feel sick or they'd start to feel off or whatever. So what happened? Did we just en masse as a population get over those things? So the same thing has occurred, and Dr. Sarno talked about this a lot in his books. There's been this phenomenon of people having different types of pains and aches and diagnoses over the last 40 years. And so his quote in All the Rage was actually, has something happened to the American back over the last 30 years? And the answer is no. It's just that people are talking about their back problems. And I will challenge you to go to a family function or any sort of an event with a bunch of friends. Preferably it would be something like a dinner party or something where you can all talk. And just count and see how long it takes before somebody starts talking about a health problem. Oh, my back's really been hurting. Somebody else will then speak up. Oh, yeah, I've got this back thing. And then the other person will say, oh, I got this ankle thing. And so those sorts of things just continue to come up. It's very interesting. Hold on, I'm going to take a drink of water. I've got a little bit of apple in my throat. Honeycrisp apples were on sale this week. And they are rarely on sale. But when they are, we go ham. Nothing more that Zoe likes than a good Honeycrisp apple, and I have to agree. So the next question has to do with food sensitivities or restricted diets. I did an interview with, gosh, let me look back, and I can tell you, and fitness podcast. I would encourage you to go back and listen to episode 55. This is from June 30th, 2019, that I did with Dr. Alicia Batson. So it's from almost 4 years ago at this point. She talked about this, and she had actually said that in her, basically in her clinical expertise and experience, that the only real food sensitivity that really exists is celiac disease, and that everything else is a TMS manifestation. And I thought, huh, that's crazy. But what I can speak to is my own anecdote, where in 2013, I suddenly developed this intolerance to dairy, and I went and had my physical done, and I had blood work done, and my blood test had revealed that I was allergic to oat as well. So guess who started having a reaction every time that he would have oat? So I stopped having oat. And this is something that people will experience. I've talked to numerous people over the years that have these really shitty experiences where they their food, the number of foods that they will actually have gets lesser and lesser and lesser, thinking that that's the source of their pain and their issues, until they're only having three or four or five foods. And so the dairy thing with me, I have dairy every single day now, and there's not an issue. I have oatmeal every single day now, and there's not an issue. So I'm certainly a big believer in that food sensitivities or restricted diets, it's a symptom imperative. So like my dairy allergy at the time was substituted and became my neck and back pain not long after that, or a few years after that. So that's what I have to say about that. That was from Morgan, by the way. This one's from Deborah. This one's fairly long, so bear with me. As competitive athletes, we need to stress our capacity a bit in order to increase it. It makes sense that this can create soreness in some muscles or joints. Lately, I've been experiencing some knee and IT band pain. How can I distinguish whether it's from this ordinary training stress or if it's TMS pain that I have also experienced in the same area? It is only annoying, not limiting, and I don't want to take time off right now as I'm in the middle of a race series. I had discontinued all PT exercises when I started TMS work, as well as the prehab exercises I had been doing. Might resuming a couple of simple exercises and foam rolling be appropriate, or would that send signals to my brain that there is a physical cause? I'm really in a quandary and would love to hear your thoughts. I recently had a visit with a TMS doc who worked with Dr. Sarno for years, and he confirmed that there's nothing structurally wrong with my knee to prevent the activity, but that I did have some patellofemoral syndrome going on. I don't know what that is. Sadly, he was on a tight schedule and I didn't get to ask him this question. So here's what I would say. He ruled out the knee. He said that there's nothing structurally wrong to prevent activity. So to me, what that says is that you're perfectly fine. One thing that I will say is that for years I did consulting for this service called Eat to Perform. And what Eat to Perform was all about entirely was, I mean, essentially athletes fueling. Diet culture is really shitty. And diet culture in a lot of ways has caused so much negative when it comes to performance of athletes, because on one hand, we want to look like we work out. And on the other hand, we want to be able to work out and look like we work out. So it becomes this catch-22 where athletes will start eating less and less to try and look skinnier or look smaller or whatever that aesthetic goal is. And then it makes their performance suffer. So what I did as a consultant is that I really flipped the script on that, and it would become eating more for performance to get those proper gains. And so the first thing that I, if you were a client of mine, the first thing that I would say when you're sending this over is, are you eating enough? You're stressing your capacity, probably means you're doing more work because you're going to be competing in a race series. So are you eating enough to recover? And so that would be the first thing that I would think about. And honestly, I would consider bumping up your carbohydrate intake and seeing how you feel then. I think it's fine to do these prehab exercises that you're talking about, but I would say to certainly keep in mind that in doing this, like, be very aware and conscious that this is not a solution or a fix for anything. This is more of a movement prep thing for me to get ready for the endeavor that I'm about to do. Like the warm-ups that I do for weightlifting, like this morning I did, let's see, what's the workout I did? Can I read it from here? So on a 32-minute clock, I ran a half mile, then I ran a third of a mile, then I ran another third of a mile, then I ran a quarter mile, then I ran another quarter mile, and then I did ring dips with sets of 15, 12, 9, and 6, and then deadlifts at 225, I did 30, then I did 24, then I did 18, then I did 12, and then I did some other accessory stuff after that. I eat an enormous amount of carbs, and that workout was a real ass kicker today. I mean, that was 32 minutes of consecutive cardiovascular activity with resistance training as a part of it. So I'm going to have an enormous amount of carbs the rest of the day to make sure that I'm recovering properly. But my warm-up for that was only 8 minutes total. That included doing 2 minutes on an Airdyne, like take 2 minutes on an air bike. I did some karaoke's. I usually do 1 minute of groin stretching. I do some air squats. I do some lateral lunges, just a few things as like a movement prep. People could say that those are prehab exercises, and they may be. But I do them as a movement prep. That's how I think about it anyway. So Deborah, that's what I would think about. I'd say use the evidence of the TMS doc saying that there's nothing structurally wrong with your knee as one. Consider how many calories that you're eating, and are you eating enough to actually properly recover? And then just thinking of the prehab as movement prep, and I think that you're going to be totally fine. So yes. Okay, the next one. This comes from Jen. How do we get to Lady Gaga and her fibromyalgia? What a great spokeswoman she would be if she could heal. Gosh, I agree. My wife and I were talking about this before the concert started. If you've never seen, what is it? It's either 5'1" or it's 5'2". It's her documentary that's on Netflix, and it's tremendous, and I love Lady Gaga. And aside from Tupac, Lady Gaga is the greatest of all time to me personally. And it sucks because in this documentary, it takes a really personal look at her struggles with fibromyalgia. Now, Nicole Sachs has tried to reach out to her. Her publicist has tried to reach out to her. Lots of fans have tried to reach out to her. And there's just nothing there. I hear the clues throughout this documentary of her talking about, I mean, saying it's TMS without saying it's TMS. She's had a very stressful career. She's had certainly times of doubt, and who doesn't have that? But to me, one of the more telling things is that she talks about how she has all this pain and all these issues to get ready for a show. And then she goes out and does the show, feels no pain during the show. And then when the show's over and all that adrenaline wears off, now she's back to how she was feeling all over again. Now, to me, as an outsider who could speak to the gazillionaire known as Lady Gaga, the queen, I would love to tell her, hey, now think about this. Step back and think about this. It's very tough. I don't know if there's a way to get through her. I think the only way is if somebody that's in this circle wins a contest, gets a backstage pass, or gets a 5-minute meet and greet with Lady Gaga privately with no security or anybody there, which isn't likely to happen. And then you could tell her about it. So I don't know, though. There certainly are times in history where famous people have heard about Sarno and his ways. Like, I think of Larry David. He wrote the greatest sitcom of all time, Seinfeld, and somehow he was reached. Howard Stern was reached. So there are examples that are out there of famous people being reached by this stuff. So I guess it's the best. This is from Vicky. Can you talk about distress tolerance? How to get comfortable with the uncomfortable sensations without going to the worst case scenario in the mind first? Things to do to help the brain calm down. So Vicky, here's what I will tell you. I talked about this in the podcast recently. Think about the worst case scenario and be okay with it. And as tough as that may seem, the worst case scenario in all facets is really just you will die from whatever it is that you're going through. You will die. And if you can be okay with that mortality, then there's really nothing that can stop you. Like, you're truly limitless. So if you can sit there, not grind out your teeth, not try to grind through it as a lot of people will do with things like this, but just literally be able to just sit there, that's sending a message to your nervous system that, hey, like, I'm not scared of this stuff and it's going to be okay. I've said on the podcast before, like, in a lot of ways, when I think about fight or flight, I think about that really great book called How Come Zebras or Why Don't Zebras Get Ulcers? Something like that. Written by a biologist. And he talks about this response from animals, like in the animal kingdom. Like, for instance, an animal gets attacked in the wild, and what happens to them and how do they shake it off? Like, pun intended, Taylor Swift. My youngest is obsessed with that song right now. But how do they get over it? And so I was thinking about this a little bit deeper, where it was kind of like, if you're out in the woods and you run into a bear and the bear looks at you and you run, you flee, like, it's showing your fear, right? And the bear is going to come after you. However, you stay completely still. You show no fear, right? That's a whole nother thing. Being able to just truly stand your ground and say, whatever happens, happens. It's a whole nother, like, it's just a different visualization. So that's what I would consider, and that's what I would think about for that as far as distress and tolerance goes. You need to be able to be comfortable, and you need to be okay with whatever that worst case scenario is. This is the only way that I was able to get over a fear of flying, was to be totally okay if the plane crashed and I died and that was it. And once I just said, there's nothing I can do about it and it is what it is, I suddenly didn't have a fear of flying anymore. I didn't have the visceral reaction. I didn't have the physiological response that I'd had for so many years before that. And it was just because of that change in perspective. This is from Sharon. This is the last one. SI joint dysfunction and severe glute pain that is consistent. Still can't confirm the exact pain source. SI joint stuff is very common. So is severe glute pain. In fact, I've sent a lot of people to this lately. But if you go to tmswiki.org and then scroll down to, I don't know, it's probably a third of the way through the page, maybe halfway through the page. On the left-hand side, there's success stories database. And you can just scroll down on here and you can click on sacroiliac pain is what you would want to find. And then I don't think they call it glute pain here. Yeah, they call it buttock pain here. So click on both of those sections and it's got success stories. There are four for the buttock pain. And then SI pain, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that have talked specifically about this. So check those things out. Those are very common. I'm pretty sure that SI joint pain and buttock pain were both talked about in at least one of Sarno's books. So I would check those out because he's got some insight there. So thanks, everybody, for jumping in. I'm doing an interview at the end of this week. Not sure if it's going to air next week or not. I do have a monologue that I'm thinking about that I'm going to be putting up here at some point soon. So hope you all have a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you soon.